I hope you realize this morning just the reality of how good God really is. And that God has pursued us in this love relationship. Man, I'm overwhelmed when I think about how much God loves me. And the fact that when I wanted absolutely nothing to do with God, God wanted everything to do with me. Isn't that incredible? I wonder sometimes why God would love someone like me and why God would love me so much. I pray this morning that you would grow to understand God's great love for you this morning. Have your Bibles with you. I want to encourage you, invite you to follow along with me. Psalms in the 100th chapter. Psalms 100. Psalms 100 is special to me because as a little child, it's one of the first real passages that I remember trying to take and memorize. My memory is not as good as it used to be, but I remember that being a very distinct passage that we looked at. And so this morning, I want to just kind of break it down for us. But back in October of 1789, George Washington, in his first presidential proclamation, he stated that it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, and to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. You know, we talk about a lot about God's will, God's purpose, our responsibilities to be obedient to God, but this morning, the thing that we lack the most of is just being simply grateful for God. You know, even in my own life, and I think about my own Bible study, my own quiet time with God, my own struggles in being obedient to God, wanting to understand more about who God is and all that God does for me, to understand more about who God wants me to be and how God wants me to relate with others, and that kind of get focused on that. But to be mindful of just being grateful to God. The other morning, I was just in my prayer time. I thought, you know, I was praying for some things. I thought, God, I almost feel guilty for asking for anything more because you've been so good to me. And I just began to thank God for just life, you know. Just thank God for my wife. Thank God for my kids. Thank God for my health. Just thank God for people that I get to interact with during the day. And just on and on and on. And you'll be amazed how much time you can spend when you just stop to kind of meditate upon how much God's done for us and how grateful we can be. And so look with me this morning here in Psalms 100. It says that, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with thanksgiving, knowing that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. You know, one of the good things about God's goodness is that it lasts from generation to generation. It never depletes. It never runs low, right? His love is always there for us. Now, when we think about this text, and it says to enter His gates with thanksgiving. Now, the gates of Zion, that they're loved by the Lord more than any dwelling of Jacob. It's the place where God is set aside to meet with His people here in the Old Testament. The gates of Jerusalem, within which the feet of the saints would come and pass through. God has a special place there. The gates of wisdom are, you know, for us as believers, of Christ Himself. In this worship place, when we enter into this building, when we gather together with other believers in Christ, to enter into this gathering together, to enter into this group of people, to gather into the presence of the Almighty, to come in with thanksgiving on our hearts. What was on your heart this morning when you came into this place? It's easy to get distracted, right, in life? I mean, I got here this morning and I was standing in the back. And people were coming in. People had cakes. People had donuts. People had food, casseroles. And I was thankful. But I was also hungry, you know. Listen, to get our minds focused on thanksgiving, to give praise to God, we come before His presence with singing, not only songs of joy, but songs of praise. To enter into His gates, it says, with thanksgiving. We must not only comfort ourselves, but we're here not just to have a good time for us, not how it just makes us feel, but we come into the presence to give praise to God so that God is elevated, so that God is lifted up, so that God is praised. Amen. The Bible says here in this passage, He says, be thankful to Him and bless His name. So often we think about Thanksgiving, we think about giving thanks to God for all the blessings for us. But listen, we need to understand that when we give Him praise, we're giving blessings to Him. We're reciprocating back what God has given to us. So to enter into those things. So, what is it that we can be thankful for this morning? What is it that the psalmist points us to this morning? Well, first of all, he says that we can be thankful for His being. I love this verse. He says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with thanksgiving. Know that the Lord, He is God. Now, okay, we got it, right? That's pretty simple, pretty straightforward. He's God. We can acknowledge that, right? Well, did you acknowledge that yesterday? Did you acknowledge that Friday? Did you acknowledge that in the days of your life? Or maybe you were the God that day. Maybe you were the one that was in control that day. Maybe you were the one that were calling the shots. You see, it's to live life with this thankfulness that He is God. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us and not we ourselves. It's good for us to comprehend this morning, okay? Y'all tracking with me? Everything that we have and everything that we are and all that we can hope for is because of Him. Work hard, be diligent, whatever you want to do. But listen, all of the goodness comes from Him. We say this, that God is the supreme being and that we're just humans. And so we think that the difference between God and us has to do with the fact that He's supreme and that we're just human. But you know that what the real difference between us, between you and God is? God is an eternal being. God is God. His being. He alone has being in and of Himself. He alone has eternal being. And being, if for you and I, whatever we have, whatever we hope, it's dependent on somebody else. It's dependent on God. It's dependent on others to help us and all those kinds of things. God is the only self-sufficient being there is. The psalmist declares in Psalms 39 and verse 5, he says, Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my age is nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best state is but vapor. The best that you can hope for in and of yourself is a vapor. Whatever you can accomplish, one day will be destroyed. Whatever you can do, whatever you can be, is apart from God, is very temporary. So any being that I have is dependent. It's contingent. It's derived. It's a subset of God Himself. That's what the Apostle Paul said when he was over there and went into the Athens of Greece there. And those philosophers were all over there debating. And he noticed that they had this altar to this unknown God. And he said, let me tell you about this unknown God. This God who created everything. And he says, in Him we live and move and have our being. You can't be you if God wasn't God. Grasp that this morning. You can't be you if God's not God. Let me put it this way. Without Him, we couldn't live. We couldn't move. So even our motion depends on the being of God. He says, in Him we live and move and have our being. man, this morning, just try to absorb that. That the Lord, He is God. He's the only living and true God there is. That He is a being infinitely perfect. That He is self-existent. You know, when I hear, I was reading a little article yesterday, and it was talking about some thing, some scientists were talking about it, and they said, well, you know, some 4 billion years ago, this was this and this was that and all this kind of stuff. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm not debating about time and all those kind of things. That's kind of a futile thought, you know, because who knows, right? But we know that God, with nothing in His hands, nothing up His sleeves, stepped out from behind nothing and spoke the whole world into an existence. All of these universes, all of these galaxies that we're trying to discover that are millions of light years away and all that, God created all that with the speaking of His voice, and He holds it all in the palm of His hands, and He's named everything. There is absolutely nothing that can be without the being of God. He is an eternal spirit, incomprehensible and independent, and the first cause and the last of everything that ever will be. We worship Him that made us and all the world. He is God. A couple of you getting it this morning. Rest of you catch up, okay? Remember when God was speaking there to Moses, and He says, I am. Jesus later in the New Testament, when they were talking about, oh, we're children of Abraham, and Jesus says, I am who I am. And He says, before Abraham, I am. Not I was, but I am in the present. He always has been. I read of this one apologetic scholar who said this. He says, we debate all time about can we prove the existence of God? If we define God as an eternal being from whom all things come and upon whom all things are dependent, I think that proposition can be proved indomitably and compelling in about 10 seconds. Listen, 10 seconds. We don't have to jump into an abyss of darkness and just to embrace God with a leap of faith. It's rationally compelling. How can that be? If anything exists, anything, if the glasses I have on this morning, if these exist, then something, somewhere, somehow, must have the power to make it. That they had to have something to make that. So just imagine, in the vast emptiness of the universe, pure darkness, nothing, nothing, nothing can create nothing. Except for God. God creates out of nothing. Nothing exists without God creating it. This morning, if you don't think you have anything else to thank God for, you can just thank God that He's God. Amen? Amen? I'm telling you. And listen, if you can't thank God that He's God, then thank God I'm not God. Hello? Or thank God the person sitting next to you is not God, right? You'd be in a whole heap of trouble if they were God, wouldn't you? That elbow would get a lot sharper, wouldn't it? Right? Thank God He's God, and we're not. But listen, so the psalmist says that we can thank God for His being, but then he says thank God for His blessings. Notice what it says in verse 4. In verse 4 it says this, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. Man, just to ponder all that God has blessed us with. All that God's blessed us with. You know, when I think back about Adam and Eve there in the garden, and we think about, and we talk about original sin oftentimes. What is original sin? Did original sin start when God had told Adam and Eve not to eat of that fruit of the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? And in that moment when Eve ate that fruit, and then she turned around and she gave it to Adam and he ate it? Is that where original sin began? I think it goes further back. I think it goes back to the point where God placed them in the garden. He said, Adam and Eve, look around. Everything in this garden you can have, except for that one tree. You can have everything in the world. Everything that I've created is at your disposal, except for this one tree. And it was in that moment Maybe that Adam and Eve weren't grateful for all that God gave them, and they were ungrateful for the one thing they couldn't have. And I think maybe original sin begins with ungratefulness. Maybe our greatest sin is not something that you might have done at some point in your life that you think was just some horribly wretched, dark sin. Maybe the greatest sin in your life this morning is the fact that you've been ungrateful for all that God has blessed you with. That you've not taken the time to voice your praise to God. Instead of being thankful for what we have, we forget about what God has given us. Webster, in fact, defines ingratitude as forgetfulness of or poor return for kindness received. It can also be defined as an or not appreciating or valuing what you have or have been given. Webster says unexpressed gratitude is also ungratitude. Unexpressed gratitude is also ingratitude. There was a professor who did some psychological studies on Olympic athletes. And he found that the athletes that win silver medals are actually less appreciative, less thankful than the athletes who won the bronze medal. And through this research, they found that those who win the gold medal, oh, they're real thankful because all the hard work they've done, all the energy they've spent, they accomplished what they set out to accomplish, and they are thankful, right? The person that wins the bronze medal, man, they've worked hard, they've struggled, they've went through all of that, and man, thank God I at least got a medal, right? But the guy that wins the silver medal, he's kind of disappointed that he didn't get the gold. And so the guy that wins the silver medal, the guy that comes in second place, is actually less thankful than the guy that came in third place. This morning, maybe you're that guy that came in second place. You could look around and you could say, you know what? I don't have all that they have. But I got a whole lot more than they have. And you're just that guy in the middle. And you're ungrateful for what God has given you. The psalmist says we need to thank God for all of those blessings. Listen, it strikes in every area of our life. But notice in Romans chapter 1, if you go back over in the Romans in the very first chapter, as I said, I think this may be our greatest sin. Because when you go back to Romans chapter 1 and Paul describes all the sin of those people in that day. Notice what he says in verse 20. In verse 20 he says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened." Where does sin begin then? Sin begins in the hearts of men when we realize that, man, we're just not grateful. We're not happy with what God's given us. You see, a thankful spirit is a triumphant spirit. We sing that song, "Count Your Many Blessings, Name Them One by One." Somebody said, count your blessings and be grateful. Not a great fool. Right? So somebody said ingratitude is a crime more despicable than revenge. Because when you take revenge on somebody, you're repaying evil for evil. When you're ungrateful, you're repaying good with evil. So ingratitude, unthankfulness, is actually worse than even revenge. What do we have to be thankful for this morning with God? What can we praise God? Man, I thank God this morning for the material blessings that He gives us. Amen? And I'm grateful. I hear people talk about, oh, I remember back in the good old days. Man, back in the good old days when I was a kid, we didn't have electricity and we didn't have air conditioning. We didn't have cars. And I'm telling you, I don't sound like good old days to me, right? Man, I'm thankful for air conditioning in the South, right? Come on. Man, I'm grateful for a car to ride in when we have to take a trip somewhere, right? I'm grateful for all that God has blessed us with and to be thankful. Listen, King David prayed over in 1 Chronicles 29. He says this, "Wealth and honor come from you. We give you thanks and praise your glorious name. Everything comes from you." Everything you have, every stitch of clothing, everything you have in your house, all that stuff you have in storage that you haven't seen for 20 years, all that stuff up in your attic that's getting cobwebs and dry rotting, all of those things are from God. They're all a blessing from God this morning. Excuse me. We can thank God not only for our possessions, but we can also thank God for the people in our life, right? Hey, just turn to the person next to you and say, "Thank you for being you." Right? Just thank you. Thank you for being in my life, right? Man, we have so much to be thankful for the people that God's put in our life. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it's interesting, that Paul's writing to the church at Corinth. They're a bunch of carnal Christians. They've caused Paul all kind of grief. And yet Paul writes to them and he says this, "I always thank God for you." If Paul can thank God for the Christians at Corinth who were living ungodly and all this kind of stuff, then you and I ought to be able to say thank you to each other, right? Excuse me, in Acts chapter 28, Paul says, "At the sight of these men, Paul thanked God and was encouraged." You see, when we show gratitude to one another, we actually encourage one another. We encourage each other along the way in life. Thank God for those that have touched your life. I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that this morning. Just a little while, we're going to break and we're going to go to lunch. And while we're at lunch this morning, we're going to give you opportunity to give testimony. Maybe you can say thank you to somebody this morning. Maybe you can thank God this morning for the possessions or for the people in your life. Hey, and if it's not for the people and the possessions of your life, hey, thank God for the fact that He has given you forgiveness of your sins. Amen? To thank God for your salvation. Listen, when we come to Christ, it's not the end, but it is the beginning of a whole new life. Thank God for His continued presence and power in our life. Paul writes again in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, "It is God who works in us to will and to act according to His good purpose." So God, His presence in our life, the fact that He is working in through us to accomplish His perfect will in our life, we can praise God. Praise God that He would love us so much that He would desire to have this intimate personal love relationship with us. And that God would desire that so much that He would send His Son to die on a cross for your sins so that your sins could be pardoned, so that you could be in right relationship with Him. Amen? Man, I praise God this morning for my salvation. April the 5th, 1987, God changed my life. I hadn't gotten over it yet. If I could get saved again, I would. It's the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. And I give praise and glory and honor to God for that. Not only to praise God for His being, to praise God for all the blessings, but then to praise God for His benevolence. Notice what it says here in verse 5. Excuse me. Psalms 100 verse 5. "For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting." Amen? Amen? They just give a testimony. Praise God for life. Amen? Amen. For the voice that He gives us, for the air in our lungs. Amen? And we praise God. You see, this verse really speaks to the reason that God has blessed you. The reason that you can say thank you to the blessings is because of His benevolence. It's the fact that God is good. It's the reason that speaks to the heart or the source of God's blessings. God's eternal mercy, God's eternal truth. Listen, the Lord is good, therefore He does good. He does good because He is good. In Exodus 15 and verse 11, it says, "Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders. It says in Deuteronomy 10 and verse 21, he is your praise, he is your God, he who has done for you these great and awesome things which your eyes have seen. And the Lord is good. Amen?
Amen.
God is good?
All the time.
All the time. God is good. Amen? Man, he is a benevolent God. Think about it. The Lord does good. He's the good shepherd. He's laid down his life for the sheep, right? He's not only the good shepherd, but he's the good Samaritan. He's the one who had every right to walk by us and leave us. But yet he went out of his way to provide for us. He's the good shepherd, and he's the good Samaritan, and he is the sacrificial lamb that shed his blood for the healing of our sinfulness. While he was here on earth, he went about doing good to the bodies and the souls of men. And I thank God today that an eternal God never changes, that he's still doing good for men today, right? And I've seen his testimonies. Man, just this week, God gave us opportunity to spend some time with our neighbors. She's been battling cancer. And she has been given like 3 days to 2 weeks maybe to live. Well, guess what? That's what the doctor said. That was probably 5 weeks ago. Her body had quit absorbing nutrition. And we sat with them Monday night and watched her eat. She's gained weight. Man, she shared testimony with us. We listened to this song. This song, I'd never heard it before, but it was too good not to believe. Amen? You've heard it said, well, if it's too good to believe, it's probably not believable, right? No, this song says it's too good not to believe. And he talks about, oh, I've seen cancer cured, and I've seen relationships restored, and I've seen the prodigal son come home, and I've seen the resurrection of the dead. I've seen all of these things. Friend, I'm telling you, that's the God we serve this morning. That's the God that we give praise to this morning. He is good. Amen? Man, he is good. He is so good. And then I love this part. His mercy is everlasting. Psalms 136 repeats that phrase over. His mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever. Like 26 times in that one chapter, his mercy endures forever. You know how many times 26 forevers are? I added it up. It's forever. Whether you do that by old math or new math, it's still forever. That is mercy. And listen, what is this mercy? This mercy is the benevolence of God poured out on us. You see, grace is when we receive from God what we do not deserve. Mercy is when we don't receive from God what we do deserve. See, what I deserve is death and damnation and eternity in hell. But because of his grace, or because of his mercy, he spared me from that. He lifts me out of that. Man, his faithfulness is in fulfilling his promises. He's faithful to his Father that appointed him. He's faithful to the covenant that he's made with us. He's faithful to his people. He's faithful to keep what they commit to his care. He's faithful to give them the crown of righteousness. He's faithful to give us life. He's faithful to hold us through the difficulties of life. And for all of these considerations and all of these reasons, he and he alone this morning is worthy to be praised. Amen. This morning, as you reflect on your life, man, we can be thankful this morning just for God. Just for God being God. And can you imagine? If God never did another good thing for you, guess what?